This is a production of Cornell University.
Thank you. participate in best programs, you have an idea for a course that you would like to have, or you have an idea for a program you'd like to start, then we facilitate people who would design something like that and also can contribute some funding for making something like that. And so those are particularly for, we prefer best students. To join the program is really easy. I'll send you my contact information. All you have to do is look on our website and sign up, and then you're in your best group. And then in addition, we for the selected two besties, our training travel awards, intensive workshops and mentorships, and these are all the externships or internship opportunities that I was mentioning towards a company. Say like you're late in your PhD, you know kind of where you want to go, but you want to have an experience like outside Cornell. We do also fund those. And so mainly just to take away for this presentation, so the BEST program is designed to facilitate flexible experiences and mentorship in your PhD. So because it's curtailed towards STEM, I'm also STEM majoring, and for example, I am more interested in science policy. To give you an example, is so I'm also the director of ASAP, which is Advancing Science Policy for Health, and all of like my interaction towards joining ASAP, and then also going to DC and meeting congressmen and learning like what areas of science policy that I could particularly be interested in was all facilitated by the BEST program. So we're obviously questions now, and so this is how you get in reach with us, and we'll circulate this through email to everyone. But I'll take any questions.
So if you have questions, please raise your hand on the whiteboard, and I'll call on your name.
So what are some of the challenges that you guys find on the advisory board, and how can we support you more?
A lot of people don't know that we exist. And so that's part of why I came here and I'm doing this presentation. And so what we find, it's really easy to join a lab. It's really easy to join a lab, and then you get centered in your research. And another challenge is that we find that a lot of students don't think that they have the time to come and explore these options to them. And so really, we recognize that your main goal here is to get your PhD. And your main goal is to get your PhD. And so we try and facilitate these opportunities around your schedule and things like that.
Tyler?
Hey, yo.
Oh, okay. So my question is, so it sounds like, so you said you just email and now you're a best student. As far as what you get out of it from the faculty side is very dependent on your advisor. If your advisor isn't well connected beyond the academic realm, you're trying to get more from the non-academic realm, who's really facilitating that for the student? And like, what's the... what's kind of the limiting factor of how much you get from that experience?
Oh, okay. So basically, when you want to sign up to become a bestie, there's like a questionnaire about sort of like what are you interested in, and then we take those interests, and then we have people out in the field. Like we will connect you to someone who knows something about what you're interested in. So it's really it's not like we assign you a mentor. It's more like we ask what you need, and then we kind of like set you off to go there and like explore that area.
Alex?
Are there ways to get involved, say if you're a student who's not in a STEM field but wants to be involved in like this sort of career path?
So we're limited in giving connecting to mentors and externships and things like that, but our public events are open to everyone, and you can find those on our website. And it's like, say you want to hear like a consultant come and talk, that's completely open to anyone. And so our website has all of our events listed, and we have events going on like daily, pretty much. So yeah, the website's on here. And then,
Karen Rose,
Alice.
Most of your services
should be really most relevant to people who are about to graduate or are graduating.
So we have the two satellite campuses, Geneva and Cornell Tech, that feel like their programs would fit under the umbrella of BEST or maybe the BESTies. Are there programs that you put on at either the Geneva campus or the Cornell Tech campus?
Over here, social sciences over here, professional students over here. Now, before you guys get up, I just want to note if you're here for a tier 3 for organization, sign in on the list that your division chief will give you and write that you are here for the specific organization. Okay. Go to your specific location.
So Mike, if you're gonna attend every meeting from here on out, I just won't attend any. I wasn't sure if you'd be at this one, so that's why I'm here. But
yeah,
so, all right, cool.
So, if they're not Less people are seeing where go home.
Services Committee and the Graduate Professional Community Initiative Committee, so GPCI and SLS. So at those meetings, we're going to try to find a chair for those committees. If you're interested in either of those committees, I recommend reaching out to me on AML372, and I can give some more information. Also, we'll probably be emailing out to everyone writ large about those committees.
Communication?
No major updates here.
Appropriations.
No updates.
Finance. No updates. With student advocacy, I'm sure everybody got the email. So Dan Wood has resigned from his position as a sec chair. So we are now looking for a new sec chair. And I would like to open the floor for nominations. Tyler.
I'd like to nominate Brie Kisting.
Brianne, okay. Do you accept the nomination?
I do.
Okay. Any other nominations? Dara?
I'd like to nominate Nicholas Carr.
Is he?
He's in the back.
Okay. Okay. Any other, do you accept the nomination? Any other nominations?
Just say it.
This is technically a question for Alex and Nate. If a committee position opens up like this, usually when we do elections, there's a preference for voting members, field reps, and then non-members. Is that still hold for?
Yes.
So I think, Nick, are you a member of the assembly right now? Yeah, no. So that would be the one thing. Is that technically preference would go to Brianne, because she is a member.
Okay.
No, she is a dick. That's just the way the rules work.
So that's written in our bylaws?
Don't put that in there.
Correct.
Okay.
But anyone can join the committee, of course.
Anyone
yes.
can join the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Encourage. encouraged to do so.
Sorry, Dara. So we have done co-chairs in the past. Jesse, you would have been the last person to do co-chairs. Do you remember if we had to suspend the bylaws to do it, or we were just like, hey, let's go?
We did not have to. Pretty sure we did not have to suspend the bylaws. Both of us who were co-chairs were voting.
Okay.
Anna?
Okay. So I'm going to ask this as someone who is acquainted with the qualifications of both people interested in running. Would you each be interested in serving as co-chairs, given the immense workload that is likely for student advocacy this year in particular? Because we can discuss co-chairs all we want, but it doesn't matter if they're not actually interested.
So, Nate, did you want to say something?
No, I'm fine with that.
Rianne?
Mm-hmm. Before we commit to that, we should see if there's any other nominations.
Okay, yes. Are there any other nominations? Okay, I had Matt wanting to talk, and then Jesse, I think.
I was just going to say procedurally, traditionally suspending the bylaws requires advance notice. You can't just do it sort of in the moment, because it's considered a governing document.
Yeah.
But I will verify it right now.
Sorry, can I ask you to repeat that? We can hear it from here.
Suspending the bylaws per standard Robert's rules, I'm checking to make sure we've abrogated that, but suspending the bylaws traditionally requires advance notice. You cannot just do it. You have to provide notice of our intent to do so prior to doing so.
In our bylaws, there's an explicit section that says you could just do it by a vote at the beginning.
Well, that means we abrogated it, never mind.
It's your decision.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary in this case, especially since this isn't a normal election. So.
And
it's not contested either, so I don't see why we can't just do it if that's what the Assembly wants to do.
So the way this is going to work for elections, because technically executive term is also the elections committee, which makes me also chair of elections. because we have two positions for co-chairs, we're going to do two votes. One for first for Bien and then one for Nick. Normally, we just do a vote of like yays or nays, unless somebody would like to motion to do a secret ballot. In the case of a secret ballot, we would have the one individual and then a vote of no confidence. Just letting you know what the options are here. So I guess let's move forward and you will vote for Brienne first, and then...
Yeah, I wanted to say something first. Can each candidate say a little about themselves?
So Brienne, do you want to go first, and then we'll have your vote, and then Nick, and then we'll do your vote after?
Well, I'm Brianna, and right now I'm the field director for plant pathology. I am a deafblind woman in science, so advocacy is kind of my thing. It's like my secret motivation in life. So I guess I just see it as a real opportunity, kind of, I guess selfishly, because this isn't something I've been wanting to get into, and I just didn't know how yet. So when they set it up, I was like, oh, maybe I can do this. So unless you have other questions, that's it.
There's a question.
Anthony?
Just quickly, could I ask Kent to just sort of give a brief description of what concrete steps I would like this committee to address this year?
Okay, Anne?
Can you say that again?
A brief description of what concrete steps they would like this committee to address this year.
What steps I would like to address? I guess I would really need to read the bylaws and see what my responsibilities are, but I would like to hold a town hall meeting as soon as possible. That way I know what people want, because that's so far what I've heard is that my job. My job is to listen to what the community wants and then respond to it. So
I'm going to give Nick a chance to answer to that question.
Sure.
I could introduce myself too. So my name is Nick. I'm a second year law student. I've come to a couple of TKSA meetings before. I've been looking for an avenue to get involved. And so for me, in my undergraduate institution, I serve on committees and I serve on task force that specifically dealt with tangible policies and procedural implementations that have to do with student issues and advocacy issues on campus, whether that have to do with graduate students, housing, expansion of wellness counseling services for graduate students at my undergrad. So a lot of my passion kind of lies in advocacy, and so that's why I kind of want to. And as far as tangible ideas and things for this upcoming year, I think definitely engaging more of the constituencies through outreach. I know the policies and resolutions that have been passed dealing with immigration or just supporting graduate housing and graduate students in general in the past have been very much, the students coming to SAC, so I think emphasizing and reaching out through, whether it's surveys or forms and going to these constituencies is extremely important, and I hope to kind of do that. So a lot of these bodies, for example, law schools, students can feel as if they have a platform for graduate students in that program.
Okay. Any other questions for the candidates? So let's vote on Brienne first as a co-chair. Okay. Everybody gets to vote.
Any member of the GPSA, voting member, field representative, ex officio,
yes,
gets a vote in this one.
Yes.
Not just anybody. Because
yes. Any
members,
yeah.
I
have
information.
Yes.
They haven't filled out
the
form for field representative yet, but they are
voting for. They were nominated by their field.
Okay. So, those in favor, please explain. Yay.
Wait, it's just a yay or no?
Yay.
Just raise your hand.
Yay.
Yes.
Yay.
Okay. Any nay? Okay. So, you are the co-chair of SAC. Congratulations. Those who want Nick as the co-chair, please say yay.
Yay. Yay.
Any names? Seeing none, Nick, you are the co-chair of SAC.
I'll ask both new co-chairs to CV after the meeting so we can chit-chat.
Thank you. Next, we have Diversity and International Students Committee.
Hi, everyone. This is sort of slowing down a little bit towards the end of the semester. Everybody's busy. I'm sure everybody in this room is very busy at this time of year. But we are planning on holding one more community lunch dialogue before the end of the year, probably that last week of classes before finals. And we have started to begun discussing having some sort of inclusivity or awareness training around social identities for members of the GPSA itself. So that would likely happen towards the beginning of next semester. So if anyone would like to participate in that training, for one thing, or would also have any feedback or ideas about what it should entail, please get in contact with me. My that ID is EPL49.
Thank you. Programming.
Do you have a date for grad ball set?
Nope, working on that too, but it'll probably be end of April, beginning of May.
Okay. Any? Yes, Tyler?
What's your email?
CJC365. My net ID.
Okay, any other questions? Faculty awards.
Okay. His A exam's next Monday.
Okay.
We don't know that.
General Committee is, Becca is not here today,
form for people, sort of like there was for the university calendar thing where people could read it and then like put their feedback in?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a website. It is extremely detailed and awesome. I am
thanks.
Thank you, Anna. Graduate school?
So I don't have an announcement, but in the next 50 seconds you could ask a question and I could answer it, or I could also tell you that at the last general committee meeting, the group unanimously passed a new description of the expanded, elaborated description of the role of the DGS, and it was proposed by one of the student members, Arvind, and it unanimously passed, and I can send you the new code language if you all want to see that as well, but it will appear in the code of legislation.
Alex?
Can you remind the assembly what DGS stands for?
Well, it's Director of Graduate Studies. And do you all know your Director of Graduate Studies? Is your DGS doing office hours? Is your DGS doing at least one pizza party a semester to do an open forum and talk to you, get your input? That's in the code of legislation.
I just don't get town hall tomorrow.
Wait, does anybody need to know what the code of legislation is?
Please, tell us.
Requirements that impact graduate students, graduate faculty, and directors of graduate studies. And I hope you all become familiar with it if you're not already. I can send a link to that too. Time's up.
Any other questions for Jen? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to open forum. Any announcements? Ariana?
So, we talked about this in the division breakouts, but I just want to state it again. So the nominations are open for the Campus Climate Task Force, and you probably got an email sent out today by the Scheinman Institute. If you are interested at all in being a part of that process, being a part of the task force, the three subcommittees, take a look at the subcommittees, what questions they're trying to address, and reminder that the peer nominations, the deadline for that is this Wednesday at midnight, and self-nominations deadline is this Friday at midnight. If you are peer nominating somebody, so actually, if you happen to be the person peer nominated, you have to actually fill out the rest of that application. A peer nomination is not sufficient for you to actually be nominated to the task force. Eugene, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, so if you're peer nominated, the Scheinman Institute will be in contact with you to let you know that you need to fill that out.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, because you might not know this, but it's nominating you. You can continue. I had other thoughts about this that I was going to bring up to an open forum as well.
Just go ahead and continue.
Okay.
Continue.
Well, I was curious as to whether the GPSA as a body wanted to nominate or endorse anyone to serve on the task.
So we've talked about this, Manisha.
Yeah, so this is all informal. We haven't brought it, it's like a discussion that we as an assembly can have. The one thing that I think that we should do is that in Resolution 5, we passed and said we would also nominate any nominations that come out of the OIC Leadership Council. So I think if OIC Leadership Council has a slate of nominees, I would be open for a resolution coming through where we formally endorse those nominees and then as an assembly nominate them. If we were to nominate anyone ourselves, I am of the personal opinion that it should be only one per subcommittee, and because I don't want it to take up space on the task force, any more space, because there is only going to be a limited number of seats for graduate and professional students. But that is something we can do if we can decide whether or not we would like to nominate as an assembly individuals to the task force.
Can I speak on that as well?
Right,
so
yes.
I think we're just going to do that wrong. So something that the Scheinman Institute directly addressed on their Saturday forum is that those who are already in leadership positions, they're going to take that in consideration when they're looking at your nomination. So if they see that you're part of a lot of things on campus, they will take that in consideration as to how much time you could actually commit to the task force and whether or not you should be as a permanent member on that task force subcommittee. Right, go ahead, Eugene, sorry.
Well, yeah, in relation to the OSC Leadership Council's nomination, so they have, come together with a list of 7 nominees that will be forwarded, and Bree and I are included on that list already. So there is a connection to the GPSA. If those were the only nominees to be made for graduate professional students, the GPSA will be linked into anything that happens.
the resolution supporting the nominations next meeting, or is that too late?
There's no time. We have to do it by Wednesday for it to matter in their process. That's the tricky part. This is so accelerated because they want to have the task force determined and announced by Thanksgiving.
So
that's their deadline.
Could you come back to us? Exec's going to talk about it, and then we'll maybe at the end we'll put our suggestion for moving on with that timeline in place.
Okay, so we'll suspend this discussion and then we'll continue later. Okay.
Yep.
Any other announcements, Matt?
So just I believe I was told to get the email. I actually don't get the email, so I can't confirm. But there's an email sent about the Code's initial committee's HB's working group, looking at Disassembly's allocated a seat, and opening unlimited community involvement, examining whether the campus code of conduct, how it should be modified to address hate speech on campus. If the work group is still in its formation stages, it'll actually be working in parallel and with the presidential task forces. We have that confirmed through the president. As I said, in essence, there are four members from the Code's initial committee. We have Mr. Nate, that's it, or who's a member somewhere, I saw him, who has been confirmed for one member. We're also looking for a member from this assembly, which I believe Rand sent an email off, but it's also open and unlimited community input involvement, so if you have anyone who's interested, please feel free to send them to myself, Connor Hobbs, who is the chair of the working group, or Nate. And we look forward to any questions. I'd be happy to answer any questions about the composition, the structure, or otherwise, but we look forward to a robust discussion, and thank you.
What's your email?
My net ID is MAB622.
So as a point of information, I have, in the email that I sent out, I have told people to send me emails if they would like to be in this CJC working group. And I have started accepting nominations, so we have names now. So I'll get back to everyone as soon as possible with that.
And I don't get the email, so that's why I wasn't sure.
Any questions for Matt on this working group? Sarah?
So what are you going to do with the list of names that
you get? The exec is probably, or ops is going to choose someone from that list, and then we'll give the name to Matt.
So it's not going to be a broad discussion?
I mean, I think, Alex, you can correct me, but I think that our document says that we have the authority to do that, but...
Right, so it's within the ops purview at this point. Ops can very easily, if they so choose, open it up to the broader community if they believe it's the interest of the broader community to do so.
I guess I was wondering if that should be something, because I feel like it's really important position, and there's only one, and it's going to be, either maybe if you want to do it with just ops, providing us an email with an option of sending in the recommendations or something like that would be great.
That could be arranged.
Yeah.
Although we did send out an email recently asking for nominations, correct?
We did send out an email asking for nominations.
So I guess we have, I know we've submitted the nominations that we're interested in, but
yes.
I'm wondering.
Okay. Yes, from the BLSA. Yes. I have received this nomination, yes. Okay. Any other questions? Other announcements? Okay. Seeing none, we can move on to new business of the day, introduction.
the structure of this resolution. The whereas clause that's included is reiterating what our charter or bylaws request of the student activity process. And the single resolve clause is all of the numbers that we had our individual votes on over the past last 2 weeks for these organizations.
Okay, so I am opening the floor for questions and answers.
So these current numbers that are listed in the document in front of me and up there are the updated ones from adjusting based on number of students.
Okay, so there so there's a packet that's in relationship to this resolution. This resolution's supporting material is this packet that Rita is holding. So this packet that Rita is holding has different numbers than what is in this resolution. So once we move on to the amendments part of this conversation, I would like to propose that we make some changes to three organizations, and those changes are based on the previous rationale that we used to approve of their funding, which was we want to fund them based on the lump sum that they're requesting, and in order to do that, it requires us to know what the most accurate headcount of students is. So the appropriations committee wants to update and amend those three numbers so that it reflects the most accurate number that we have.
Other questions? Seeing none, let's move on to formal discussion on the resolution. Any recommendation for any motions to amend?
So I would like to make a motion. So I would like to amend line 21, athletics and physical education, change that to $7.72. Question. If I'm changing three numbers, does that need to be three individual I would also like to change BRB to 1158. And the Cornell University Programming Board to 250. There's one more. And GPSA FC to $29.56. So again, what these numbers represent is, so we had the initial votes the last 2 days, and those numbers represented were the numbers before these were changed. So I've just made the motion to amend these three numbers to correct them, because the way that we've decided to fund them is based on the headcount of students in lump sum. So these numbers represent the actual headcount. We finally have the number. However, I'm going to take this opportunity to say that it doesn't affect the total cost of the student activity fee from when we presented it earlier. So it's still in the formula.
Motion
to call quick on the amendments.
Second.
Any dissent to call into question? Voting members, those in favor of this amendment, highlighted in red, please raise your flag. With a vote of 15-0-3, the amendment passes. Any other motion to amend?
Motion to call the question on the resolution.
Second.
Okay. Any dissent to voting on the resolution now? Seeing none will do that. And to pass this resolution, we need a supermajority. So voting members in favor of passing the resolution as is, please raise your placards.
And line 9, where it says initiate a strategic planning process to begin in fall 2017.
Just to clarify, that is line 9 on the second page, so the line numbers start over. So.
Yes. I'm under the impression that you are starting the strategic planning process now, so I think that number should still be accurate. And then where it says line 23 in this updated version, to all assemblies by the end of fall 2018, I still believe that. I don't see any reason why that needs to change either.
I misread it. I was looking at the older version, so that's a change.
There we go.
Okay. So, any more questions or clarifications? If not, we'll move on to a formal discussion where we can make amendments. Okay. So let's begin formal discussion on this resolution. If you have any amendments to make, please suggest it. Yes.
So I would like to motion to amend line 22 on the first page, which is up. It's the second page. On line 22, where it says the Senior Leaders Climate Action Group is working to integrate sustainability and climate action strategies. At the last UA meeting, a member of that working group said that we actually had it reversed. So
belongs to the floor,
oh,
that's who
they
are.
Another point of information, based upon the fact that this isn't really changing the content of it, it's just rearranging the words, can just be taken as a friend of the
by herself.
By herself.
Sorry, what?
Can you take your
you
own amendment as friend?
Oh, I would love to take my own amendment as a friendly amendment. Thank you.
At the end of that, if anybody would like to nominate someone from within the GPSA to serve, they can then nominate, and we'll do the same thing for them. Because we don't need to send this to the president, so it doesn't need to be a formal resolution, in our opinion. If anyone would like to challenge that or offer an alternative, we're willing to hear, but that's what our strategy is.
Any challenge, question, worries, comments?
None
will
do that. So
Eugene,
do you want to go through the candidates?
Yeah, so the first candidate is Jenna Kyle. She's a law student. She's vice president of the Black Law Students Association and president of the Native American Law Students Association. And she was nominated by law students primarily. I don't know much. Do you want to tell us any more other details?
Yeah, Jenna has been very involved since she came to the meeting with President Pollock relating to campus climate right after the college town incident. She's been to a lot of on-campus meetings and she came to the grad professional student meeting last Wednesday for the presidential task force. She's been writing the law school primarily every day with her platform and really wants a spot on the task force because of the various different communities that she represents.
Are we going to do the short polls like one at a time?
No, let's do it as a block.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll have you go through all, and then we'll do a block of nominations, and if anyone dissents to a single nomination, then we'll go through and do them one by one. Otherwise, we'll just approve them asleep.
So the second candidate is Stephen Kim, who's a PhD student in English. He's a IDP facilitator. These are just things I know about him. He's an IDP facilitator. He's a graduate RA for one of the places on North Campus, I think.
Yeah,
IDP is the Intergroup Dialogue Project, which is a program that's tasked with giving president of the Latino Law Student Association. And the last is Angarina Tian Martin, who is a MPH student and part of the Latino Graduate Student Coalition. It's also affiliated with the American Indian and Indigenous Studies Program.
We would like to take a stroke poll of these seven individuals. So we'll do the yay and nay again. So again, all members can vote for the seven members. And so basically all in favor of approving or this OIS Leadership Council nomination, please say yay.
Yes. Point of information.
Yes.
Could you just repeat that last name because I missed it?
Andreina Dylan Martin.
Oh, thank you. So, go ahead.
Okay. So are we ready to say yay?
Or
nay?
Yay.
Or nay? Okay. So let's do that now. Those in favor, please explain yay.
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 Okay. Any nays? Okay. Seeing none, we will be endorsing the seven nominations from the OIS Leadership Council.
Does anyone within GPSA want to nominate anyone for any other GPSA endorsements? On that note,
any other?
I have a motion before we adjourn. I would like to move to have an open election.
Isn't this
the
thing
we're passing? No,
I'm sorry.
So before we adjourn, I'd like to move to put on the agenda for the next GPSA meeting an election for at the meeting for election for a GPSA delegate to the ad hoc committee on hate speech.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Any dissent to adding that to the agenda wait.
Sorry, question. Which
point of information.
Point of information.
Then that would be really late. And I think the working group, you are talking about the page. Oh.
I'm talking about which ad hoc.
Which ad hoc?
Because there's like
yeah.
Half dozen.
The hate speech one?
Yeah, which
is it the presidential task force or is it the CJC?
Not the task force, no.
On the CJC.
Yes.
On the CJC.
Yes.
The CJC.
Yes.
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 So.
I didn't think that you called the task force the president being an ad hoc task force.
Manisha?
So point it. Information for that is that might be too late for the working group. Matt, I guess you would know what the schedule Connor is hoping to keep that working group on, because I think that might be too late.
Yes.
Or yes.
And I could also, and I'm sure Nate can also.
Nate sets in.
Oh,
so, Nate,
you raise your hand.
So. Yeah. So I was obviously part of the conversation where we discussed getting representatives from various assemblies. My impression was very much that in the spirit of these code changes and then in the spirit of like the events that gave rise to our considering these code changes, that we would want to maximize transparency and give people as much opportunity as possible to participate in selecting who that was. So while this was certainly not explicit during the CJC meeting where we approved a new structure for the ad hoc, it was certainly my inference that was going to be by floor vote, like an election in the in each of the assemblies. With regard to the time frame, the time frame is a little bit up in the air. It was originally to have draft language by the end of this semester, and so that didn't work out. But we're hoping to, like, we're still working on getting the staff. I don't know that anybody but the chair has been officially appointed. So I think
that's
the GPSA member would be, I think in 2 weeks from today it would still be timely to get it finished. Personally.
Matt.
Thank you. So in terms of the decision to allocate seats to our constituent assemblies, each constituent assembly is absolutely completely free to do to staff that seat however they see fit. GPSA is fully empowered to, in essence, adopt or choose to pursue whatever course of action they believe will give you the best.
next representative. Having spoken with Connor, his intent is to have a relatively aggressive timeline to try and get things totally heading moving before the end of the semester. That being said, obviously the assembly is free to act as it sees fit. To the question of who's been staffed, Connor Hodge has been appointed as chair. Nate Setson has been appointed as the graduate representative from the CJC. Reese Liebertz has been appointed as the faculty representative from the CJC. We're still trying to nail down the employee representative from the CJC, but I have also been informed by the heads of the other constituent assemblies that their process to staff is underway as well. So whatever this assembly chooses to do, I'm going to abstain from that discussion because it's not for me to say what the assembly chooses to do. But the timeline, obviously, sooner is generally better than long and running. But whether the assembly chooses to do is up to this assembly.
If we're worried about time, then it's really impossible to spend the next 15, 20 minutes talking about it. It's basically much more time than the meeting.
That's
as soon as I could find the email. here we go. Yep, so it's from Erin L. Subroot, and this person is, I guess I'll just read exactly what the email said. They're extremely interested in serving as a GPSA representative to the ad hoc committee. They're a second year law student, a transgender Muslim, first generation immigrant, and African. Have extensive history as an activist and an organizer, as well as a campaigner, in the capacity as the Black Law Students Association's social justice and community engagement chair. They've been involved with the hate speech issue since the beginning. They advised the Black Students United on some draft language with the provision, participated in protest actions, consulted with First Amendment scholars, co-wrote the current draft language that's floating around, and attended the hate speech forum led by the CJC last week. The Black Law Students Association's draft language was met with approval from the Board of Trustees as well as President Pollack. BLSA would really like to continue to have a voice in the process. The current draft language is, and I quote, our baby. And they've done a lot of research on the issue. They feel confident in their ability to create a provision that passes constitutional muster but also does what it needs to do.
Okay, so can I motion for us to have another open election right now? Oh, wait, I'm so sorry. We never acted on Jesse's motion, so I don't know if I can make a motion over
just
the motion.
Just do it.
I revise my motion to say have the election now. Someone should second that.
I second it.
Matt, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say that, and obviously whatever this assembly chooses to do is its prerogative. That being said, it wasn't listed on the agenda, so there may be people who were interested who would have had this been on the agenda or formal location gone out wider. You may have had different people who chose to attend or apply. This is something that I hope you should be aware of.
Anisha? I yield to Alex.
Yep. I would counter that by saying that we did publicize that we were looking for nominations already, so I don't think it's terribly out of... it was a week ago that we publicized that the nomination was open, so this I wouldn't call this a last-minute decision.
May I ask to whom you
we went out to the GPSA members list.
How was the information distributed a week ago?
It was sent out to the GPSA members list.
Members?
So, okay, point of clarification, I don't know, I'm just going to clarify. So we are talking about the ad hoc working group that is for the UA's Codes and Judicial Committee, not the Presidential Task Force. So at this point, the GPSA is not nominating anybody extra to the Presidential Task Force. That the Presidential Task Force nomination conversation has ended for now. We're talking explicitly about the UA's CJC election to, their working group for hate speech, the Code of Conduct hate speech provisions. So our understanding, and Matt can correct me if I'm wrong, is that it will be staffed by someone from each constituency from the CJC and then one person coming from each constituent assembly?
That's largely correct. And also, it's unlimited open community involvement. So in essence, if we had 20 people who wanted to serve in GPSA, there's no reason all 20 couldn't show up. In this case, we have one, but it's really, truly, completely open.
Anna?
So it's no secret that I've been impatient with the process. I would lean towards saying that we have sent out call for nominations, that one of the key issues of transparency here is that we are including the affected communities, and that I know Aaron is exceedingly plugged into those affected communities and has already been doing outreach. I would support getting a move on because we really, really need this thing to get running. But that is just my two cents.
Margaret?
Yeah, I was kind of just going to say what Anna did. Generally, it's just organizations like pulling teeth to get anyone to be nominated for anything. So when we have a candidate who's so qualified, yeah, I think it's just better. Especially if we just talked about how we needed an aggressive timeline. So now to say, like, oh, wait, we can get more nominees or whatever. Filling, so I think we should do it now. When do we ever have free time?
No. Okay, so just,
I move to call the question.
Second.
Yeah.
Any dissent to calling the question? So none, we'll do the exclamation that we did for the other elections today. So those who are in favor of Aaron serving as the in the CJC working group, please say yay.
Yay!
Yay.
Any names? Seeing none, Aaron is now our representative to the CJC working group, and Matt will get a formal email from me. Okay, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
And you decide to adjourn in right now?
8 minutes early?
Yes.
We're on an upward trajectory, guys.
Are you proud of us?
I'm jealous. Okay, let's adjourn now. Thank you, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.